Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In John chapter 10, we find a great passage of Scripture concerning Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus Christ said, "I am the door of the sheep." John 10, 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." And find pasture. You know, there are a lot of times in the Bible where you find metaphors. For instance, you and I are likened to sheep. And the interesting thing about that is that when you study sheep, you learn a lot more about us and our behavior, because the metaphor is not just isolated to one passage of Scripture where you see it, but it's to expand your thinking and to consider a number of things. For instance, we're really dumb, like sheep are, and we need a shepherd to lead us just like sheep do, and we need somebody to settle us down and cause us to lie down in the green pasture and so forth and so on. This is not a sermon on the sheep. That's probably a good one to do, but what we're looking at is Jesus as the door. And when you look at that typology, when you look at that metaphor, you can look through the Bible and find references to doors, and by reading their context, you can glean some wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the door, and because he is the door, we have some things. Number one, we have salvation. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Isn't that something? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You get to heaven through the door. Isn't that remarkable? I know that you recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior, but have you ever put John chapter 10, verse 9, with Revelation chapter 4? The fun thing about cross-referencing Scripture, if you don't go beyond the context and beyond the doctrinal applications, you know, and get messed up accidentally, is that you really learn a whole lot more about a particular thing when you check it out in various other places in the Bible. Jesus said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So we get to Revelation chapter 4, and here's John. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and suddenly he's called up by the Spirit of God, and he goes up and he sees things in heaven, and from Revelation 4 to 19, he's writing all kind of things going on, you know, through the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fabulous passage of Scripture. But I notice how it all opens in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Isn't that something? Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And you look up there, and finally you see in heaven, there's a door. You get to heaven through the door. One fellow said, in bragging about his church, comparing it to another church, he said to his friend, he said, "My church has the keys to the kingdom." I guess you know which one he's talking about, because the leader of that church wears a hat, and on that hat are those keys. So he's bragging about that, and he said, "My church has the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And his friend replied and said, "What do I need with the keys? I have the door." That's a good reply. Listen, Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. There's just one way, one door. And you don't get in by any other means. I mean, seriously, if you try you know what you're going to do? You're going to fail. If you try to get in by any other means, you're going to fail. And the reason you're going to fail is you're a thief. Jesus Christ said, they come in by me. If they try to come in any other way, then they're a thief if they go over the wall or try some other end run. John chapter 10, Jesus Christ said, He that climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Somebody says, well, I'm going to try to get in on my good works. I'm going to try to get in by keeping the commandments. I'm going to try to get in on my church baptism. I'm going to try to get in on my sacrament. You're a thief. You're not going to get in that way. You go in by the door or you don't go in. Okay? Now I'm showing you something else. With Jesus as the door, we have salvation. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. But you know something? With Jesus as the door, we have something else. We have access. We have access. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's a long passage here dealing with the fact that Gentiles get in on salvation through Jesus Christ. And in the middle of that passage, Jesus is talking, or Paul is talking about the Jews on the one hand and Gentiles on the other hand. He says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have, watch it, access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus has not only gotten us saved, he's given us access to the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see that? So we have access to the Father. As people have often said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So when you bow your head and you begin your prayer and then you end with, in Jesus' name, you know what you have just done? You have just entered right into the throne room of God Almighty. When you read through your Bible, have you ever read the book of Esther? Did you ever read that place in there where Haman had set up that decree to have all the Jews killed, and Mordecai, Esther's first cousin, was so upset about that whole situation that he was in sackcloth, and she sent change of clothes out there and said, you're not supposed to be in the king's court with all, you know, and then the gate like that with that sackcloth on. Put these clothes on. He said, no, I can't do it. And she found out what the problem was, and he said, you know what? You need to go to the king. And she said, well, I can't do that, because if he doesn't hold out the scepter, you know, then I can't come in. And I think it's a capital offense. And so he says to her that you were born for such a time as this, that you're there for such a time as this. In other words, if you don't seek deliverance for the Jews, don't think you're going to be spared because you are married to the king. You're a Jew. And don't think that God's hands are going to be tied and constrained. If he doesn't use you, he'll use somebody else. Okay? And so here's what happened. Here's what happened. Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. She knew that she could be put to death. She said, there is one law of his to put him to death, except to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And you know what? It was so in Esther chapter 5, verse 2, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. She was able to gain favor with the king, and he lowered that scepter and let her in. Now, she had every reason to be afraid. Vashti, the queen before, had been deposed by the king. because she wouldn't come when he called. So there was a great reason to fear. But I'm going to tell you something. He lowered that scepter. May I tell you something? She walked right up to the king. Right up to the king. He gave her favor. You get favor also. You know how you get favor with God Almighty? Through Jesus Christ, the door. The Bible says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that fabulous? Isn't that wonderful? Find grace to help in time of need. What a beautiful, wonderful thing. You see, with Jesus at the door, we have salvation. We have access to the supreme commander of the universe, God Almighty, the Creator. That's no small thing. To think that you could have an audience with God Almighty anytime you wanted, 24 hours a day, think how little you avail yourself of the great opportunity of prayer that God has given you. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you something. Knowing that you have access to the Father through Jesus Christ by calling out His name and gaining favor with the Lord, do you really take advantage of that? You can't call the governor. You may not get the mayor. You surely won't get the president. With Jesus at the door, we have salvation. We have access to the Father much greater than any of those I've named. Now make sure you use that and go to Him, right to the throne. Not only that, with Jesus at the door, we have salvation. We have access. We also have ingress. Look in John chapter 10, verse 9 again, where we started. John chapter 10, and look at verse 9. Ingress. That means you go in. Ingress, egress. Egress, exit, go out. Ingress, go in. Ingress. Look in John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We go in and we go out through the door. Entering in through the door puts us into the body of Christ. Like the Bible says, we are in Christ. And as a consequence, we are in the church. Do you understand? The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And that body is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get in any other way. And being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the principal thing. Now you are in such a way, when you are in the body and in the church, to be supplied. The Bible says concerning the stature of Jesus Christ and being in His body, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You say, boy, you sure read that fast. I did, didn't I? What does that mean? You know, the sad thing is so many people today don't realize that they are in Christ and therefore in His body and have access to this supply continuously through our location in the church and this protection from every wind of doctrine. You see, when you're in Christ, you get in the church and the church preaches the truth, if it does. Then what happens is you get grounded, you get rooted, you get connected, you get supplied, you grow up, and you become what God wants you to be after having saved you and made you His child. That's a fantastic thing. And the reason you have that access or that ingress is because of Jesus Christ, you see. A lot of people think that they should be in a particular church because they have money or they have status or they have position or they want to be recognized, or they go to church not to be supplied but to be entertained. And what happens is the whole focus turns away from Jesus Christ to everything else. This is where I feel comfortable. This is where my friends are. I like this person. That's why a lot of people go to church. I feel comfortable with the ritual. This is the way I was raised. All those things I just mentioned, those are why people, you know, have an ingress to the church. But those aren't the reasons to be there. The one and only reason to be there is Jesus Christ, period. Now, once you're in there for Jesus Christ, you have ingress. Then guess what happens? Your connection to the other believers does form the fellowships and friendships. But I'm telling you what, that needs to be your principal concern. With Jesus as the door, we have salvation, we have access, we have ingress, we also have egress. Look what he says again in John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, you shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice he said, you shall go in and out. We go out. He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We're not to keep all of what we have in Jesus Christ to ourselves. We are to go out and tell others. Egress. A lot of people go to church and then everything about their relationship to church and the Lord is in that church or in their home. As you know, we are evangelistic. We talk to other people about their souls, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and how often we find people that say, yes, I'm a member of such and such a church, and they're, listen, their whole Christian life is inside the walls. Inside the walls of their home and inside the walls of the church. They would not dare speak to anyone else about the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness to bring them to the Lord. And yet the Lord said, you need to go out. You come in, but you need to go out and find pasture. Let me say something to you. There are people all around you that you know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be the one person they know better than anybody else who is really a Christian, who is really saved. What are you doing to try to bring them in the fold, to introduce them to the door, to show them the way of salvation? You say, well, nothing. We leave that to the preacher. They're not going to your church. And the church they go to is not preaching the gospel. You have to tell them. When I was in the banking business, before I went into the ministry, we would leave church and we would go out. What do I mean? In my office, I used those associations and those relationships as opportunities to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You should too. With Jesus at the door, we have egress. That means you go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's not all. With Jesus as the door, we have security. We have security. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 16. I'm right in the middle of a context here, but when Noah made the ark, he made it with a door in it. That's the way he was told to make it. In Genesis 6:16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof. Okay? And then when you get to Genesis chapter 7 and look at verse 16, they went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. He shut him in the door. All right, well, what is that? That's security. The Lord shut him in. You see that? The Lord shut him in. In other words, when you go in by Jesus Christ, there's a door. He is the door. The Lord shuts that door. And just like everybody on board in the ark was spared because the Lord shut them in, they rode out the storm and didn't come out of the ark until the ground was dry. The shut door pictures our eternal security. You're not coming out of Jesus Christ. Not until we go into all eternity. You're secure from the storms and rages of the sea and from the storms of life. You have security. Listen, we have to deal with people from time to time who are very concerned that they might, even though they're saved, might die and go to hell. They have doubts of their salvation. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the door. And when you went in there, God shut you in. Jesus said in another place, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see how that is? You're shut in. You're inside the door. You're protected. It's kind of like the Passover lamb when the blood was put on the two doorposts and on the lintel above the door, and the people stayed inside the door. The angel, the destroyer came by to destroy and passed over that house. You're inside the door. Jesus Christ has got you secure in him. You see, with Jesus as the door, we have salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We have access to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. You don't need a priest or a pope. You just go straight to Jesus, to the Father through Jesus. We have ingress. We're in Christ. We're in the body. You have egress. You go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have security. You are eternally secure. When you are saved, you are going to remain saved. When it's Jesus Christ that saves you. And then not only that, but with this. With Jesus as the door, we have opportunity. We refer to the door of opportunity. You've heard of that. Well, the door of opportunity. You've heard of that. Revelation chapter 3 speaks some of this door. Revelation chapter 3, look in verses 7 and 8. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Notice, an open door, an open door. We refer to this as the door of opportunity. When the Lord opens that door, he intends for you to go through that door in order to be saved. And that door stays open as long as he wants it to until he decides to shut it. And then when that door shuts, no one can open it. He shutteth, and no man can open it. Listen, for sure, absolutely for sure, death shuts the door on opportunity. That's right. When you die, you cannot be saved afterwards. There's no hope of purgatory. If you haven't settled it with the Lord Jesus Christ before you die, purgatory is not going to do you one bit of good. Not at all. That doctrine is a false doctrine, is not a biblical doctrine. It's a church doctrine. There's no such thing in the Bible. It's either heaven or hell. And when death comes, that for sure, that door of opportunity is closed. The thief on the cross had just hours of life left to go through that door. And he did. But I'm going to say something to you. There may be a time when God just finishes dealing with the soul and leaves him alone. It's like the door of opportunity closes even before he dies. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 1 so you'll understand what we're talking about here. Proverbs chapter 1. I commonly say as long as a man is breathing, he's got a chance to be saved. But I wonder sometimes if a man has rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that God says, you know what, I'm done dealing with him. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 24. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter, verse 33. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You see that? That's somebody that refused and rejected the counsel and reproof of the Lord God. And he said, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You know what I'm going to do? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Do you see that? The Lord says, When you look at this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 to 33, it's like there was a door of opportunity opened, and then they kept on refusing the reproof and the counsel of the Lord. He just shut the door. It's kind of like what happened to those people in the ark when God shut the door on the ark. The people that were outside the ark said, oh, it really is raining. We went in too late. They're still alive, but they can't get in. Why? The Lord shut the door. And I say to you that it seems like there is a door of opportunity for you that can shut even before you die. And you've been putting off the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what? You're hearing the gospel preached today, and the Lord's saying, I'm talking to you, Buster, and I'm giving you a chance to receive me before I shut the door. Jeremiah was charged with the responsibility of preaching to the hardened Jews of Israel, and he was also interceding for them. And in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord told him, therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. It's like the Lord said, quit praying for them because I'm not going to change my mind. And I'm telling you, if you're hearing the gospel today and you are still putting off salvation, don't wait. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then trust Him today. Why? Because the door of opportunity is still open. You are hearing this message. You are alive. You have an opportunity to get saved, and you need to get saved. You cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. It's not going to do you any good to be left outside the door when it closes. You must enter in, and Jesus is the way. Trust Him today. Do you understand? Don't let this door of opportunity close on you. Receive Jesus Christ today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.